Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and how is everybody doing this evening? I am your host, Coach Terrence Wood, in the BYGP Locker Room Show, and I am thrilled, you guys, for tonight's show. Pumped up for our guest tonight. This is somebody that I had a chance to sit back and watch, a chance to learn from as a young defensive back, and he was fortunate enough to have an amazing career at the University of Oregon. He then went on to become the number 11th overall draft choice of the New Orleans Saints, and then had an 8-year career now, is doing some public speaking, really talking about leadership within corporations. He's got two young sons that are college football players. So this guest is directly in line, you guys, with what we practice, what we preach at Before You Go Pro. For those that are just joining us for the first time, Before You Go Pro is a company that is solely focused on helping young football players mentally, morally, and socially. And I have the pleasure tonight to introduce our guest, none other than Mr. Alex Molden. I think we already have him on the line. Alex, are you with us tonight?
I am. Thanks for having me.
It is our pleasure to have you, and I know this is your first time in the locker room. We have a bunch of young, aspiring football players. We've got parents, coaches that are excited to listen to you tonight. So thank you so much for coming on.
Yes, indeed.
So let's get right into it, because I know we don't have an abundance of time, and we definitely want to honor your time. For those that don't know you, Alex, where are you originally from?
Yeah, man, I'm originally from Colorado Springs, Colorado, and I'm an Army brat. I was born in Detroit, but because my dad was in the Army, we moved all over the place. We moved I was in Oklahoma for 3 years, and then Germany for 3 years, and then we ended up settling down in Colorado Springs back in 1983.
Wow, so you moved all over the place. I'm sure that gave you a lot of perspective. As far as football, who was the one? Was it dad that got you introduced to football? Was it a uncle, a friend? Who got you started with football?
Yeah, man, it was a friend. It was his name was Ron Brown, and he worked at the Boys Club because my mom didn't play sports, didn't grow up watching sports or doing sports. Same thing with my dad. He didn't play any type of sports growing up. And so I didn't really see it a whole bunch on TV because, we didn't watch it. But when we moved to Colorado and I started going to the Boys Club, before it was the Boys and Girls Club, but it was just the Boys Club, I really looked up to one of the guys who worked the gym. His name was Ron Brown, and he started – I started lifting weights with him, and he started telling me, actually his brother played for the Sooners. And so that was my first, look into, hey, man, college football, that sounds pretty cool. And that was about it.
Wow, that's an amazing story, and I'm sure he was probably looking for a little commission once you started showing out on the football field. As far as when you did realize that you had some talent and that maybe you could take this football thing somewhere. How old were you when you started to realize that?
You know, it really started to hit me. So I was a late bloomer, number one. I didn't play organized football until the eighth grade. So, I mean, I played out in the street with the fellas and, you know, and all that good stuff, but I didn't play organized football till eighth grade. And, shoot, man, we lost every game. I did okay, but I didn't do that great. But when I got into high school, and I want to say my sophomore year, I went to a camp, and it was called the Mile High Camp, and it was up in Greeley. It was up in Greeley at the University of Northern Colorado.
Northern Colorado.
So I went to that camp.
Yep.
Yeah, and then so I went to that camp, and I got a chance to compete with all type of kids from all over Colorado and Wyoming, and I did really well. Actually, I got MVP. So that was my first, like, hey, you know, I'm all right, you know, I'm okay. I think I can do this. And even though I was a late bloomer, and my football IQ wasn't all that high at the time, that gave me a tremendous amount of confidence winning that MVP.
Wow, that's amazing that you didn't start till that late and had that much success. As far as the recruiting process, was Oregon the main school that was hot on your heels, or were there a few other schools you were considering?
No, there was Colorado was my first, the first one that reached out to me. And at the time, they were balling. They were, my senior year, they were ranked number one. They was playing for the national championship. And so it was Colorado, Oregon, USC was in the hunt. And I thought I was going to be a Trojan. And Colorado State, Michigan, and then Tennessee. And I took my recruiting trips. I went to Tennessee, loved it there. And I thought that I was going to be a volunteer. All the coach had to say was, you know, Alex, we're giving you a scholarship. We want to give you a scholarship. I didn't hear those words. And he actually told me, he said, you know, because I'm from Colorado Springs, not a big city. I mean, nothing like Denver. And the only reason I got on their radar was because one of the coaches was from Colorado, and he kept hearing my name over and over again. You know, when he reached back to some of his buddies from back home, and so that's how I kind of got on the radar. And he found some film on me, and he said, we gotta recruit this kid. But Coach Majors wasn't all in. And when I met with him on my recruiting trip, he said, Alex, we're thinking about offering you a scholarship. And I was, man, he said, thinking. I mean, I just had Coach Bill McCartney, the number one ranked Colorado Buffaloes, in my house, in my living room 2 days ago. And you're telling me you're thinking about offering me a scholarship? And so that just wiped off Tennessee. You know, I knew I wasn't going to go there. And in Colorado at the time was kind of throwing mud at Tennessee. And so I just didn't like the feeling of that. And Oregon was a school that was really all about Oregon. You know, they wasn't worried about anybody else. They was worried about Oregon. And, you know, truth be told, the reason I chose Oregon was because of Coach Zumbukos, who was the recruiting coach, but he was the offensive line coach for Oregon, but he was recruiting that area. And the character that this man showed really resonated with not just me, but my mom and my brother. And because of him, I know I made the right choice in choosing the University of Oregon.
Wow, I just got chill bumps because you're talking about Coach Neil Zumbukos. He recruited me to Oregon.
Look at that.
Yeah, and, you know, just like you said, an amazing man. We'll talk offline because I've got a great story about him and his character. So, yeah, I could see why you went there. And for a while, I thought I was going to be a duck too, but it didn't turn out that way. But let's get back to you. As far as you signing on with Oregon, I really wanted the opportunity to talk to you, Alex, because I know you got those young boys, too. They're not young anymore, but they've been recruited. They're playing college football. What's your opinion about the recruiting game today and the media hype behind some of these young men? Do you think it's too much pressure? Do you think it's just natural evolution? What's your thoughts?
Yeah. I think because of the evolution of social media and with that, and then the recruiting services, with the Scout and 247 and all these things, along with the Nikes of the world with their opening, events where they showcase these athletes, their athleticism. And then on top of that, you add in, the 7-on-7 circuits and whatnot. I just think that, that's just the evolution. There's more of it. Football is a very popular sport, and then you're giving the people what they want. And then now you're giving these young kids, they're at the beginning stages of those football lovers. You're getting to see these young kids at the high school level kind of become something. And, when that happens, then the dollar bills start to be a point. So with these recruiting services and whatnot, and then social media, when these kids, start to announce, where they've, their picks, or announce their scholarship offers, it puts the power in their hands. And then when that comes, there's going to be those services, then those recruiting sites that want to get their hands in there too. And basically give the people what they want. The people want to know where these young guns are thinking about going. And so it has kind of exploded on the scene and really put these kids, then the ESPNs, these kids are coming with these super extravagant decisions and whatnot, and now the ESPNs of the world is airing it. So there is a lot of hype that's going around, and I don't think it's going away anytime soon.
Well said right there, Alex. And we have a bunch of young men who are maybe either just decided where they're going to college or they're still weighing options. I know you had to go through it with your boys. One of them went to Western Oregon, the other one at the University of Washington, Elijah. What would you say to a young man listening as far as maybe top three things to keep in mind when making a college decision?
Yeah, for sure. Our thing was, number one, it was Elijah's decision. It was his decision. Everybody thought that he was going to be a duck. Everybody thought that I thought that I wanted him to be a duck, and that wasn't the case. I wanted him to choose the college that fits him and what he wants. So it started off like, hey, I wanted him to write down what is your foundation? What is your big rocks that no matter what, it's not going to move, it's not going to change. Why do you want to go to school? What's your big rocks? So the first thing for him was the coach. Is there a solid foundation there? Is he about to leave? Does he have other offers coming? Does he want to go to a bigger school? Does he want to leap, make that leap to the pros? So that was one. Another thing was the position coach. The position coach was huge. in terms of, like, you know, what he can teach you. Right? I've shared the, you know, basically my DB book, all my learnings over the, you know, 4 years in college, and then, you know, 8 years in the pros with multiple DB coaches and multiple schemes and you know, different ways how to coach and different tools. So I've given him all of that. I want him to still go somewhere where he can be able to still grow and learn. And then the third thing was academics. And really that should have been the first one, but just off the top of my head, I was just want to, you know, coach, and then, you know, the coaches and academics. But academics, I want him to go to a school that was highly regarded, and that he can go, you know, most likely where we go to school at is where we're going to end up living. Maybe not in the same city, but most likely in the same state. So I wanted him to go somewhere where he can be able to thrive and flourish and also get a great education. And for him, it happened to be University of Washington. And I would actually, Terrence, I would say the fourth thing was football culture. It was the culture that really drew him to University of Washington. So the coaches, definitely academics, and definitely the culture was the decision that made him a Husky.
I love it. And obviously, your boys are having success. For those that are just joining us, we are in the BYGP locker room. I am extremely fortunate to host Mr. Alex Molden, former University of Oregon Duck, number 11th overall draft choice in the 1996 NFL Draft. We've got roughly about 15 more minutes here with Alex, and definitely appreciate your time. Talk to me once you got to the University of Oregon. Was that an easy adjustment for you, maybe since you were traveling due to your father's military commitment, or was that a hard decision or a hard choice for you to leave away from home?
No, it wasn't hard for me. You know, we had issues, you know, family, you know, being a son of an alcoholic mother and father, and I was just, man, I was ready to leave, man. I was ready not just to leave the house, but to leave the state. And I just knew if I were to stay in Colorado, you know, I just knew that I would be, you know, that it wouldn't be good. It wouldn't be good for me or my mother or my father-in-law. So I decided to leave, and it was difficult, man, going to Oregon. Now, I didn't get the homesick part. You know, I actually left early, and early back then was like leaving in July, you know, to be able to, you know, to work out with the team in July. Not yeah. like it is now when guys can leave like in January. But, but when I got up there, it was just, the difference between an 18-year-old and a 21-year-old is huge. In terms of like physicality, you know, physical, the strength, the speed, and also the mentality. And so it was a tough transition. I knew I was a good athlete and I can run and I can do all that type of stuff. But the football aspect, like I was so far behind, you know, like I said, my football IQ, I can get away with things with my athleticism, my, you know, being just physical at the high school level. But now I got to go in and I got to cover these guys, and they all can run. They all are, you know, great attention to detail. They don't give away things, meaning, you know, when guys are running routes, they don't telegraph anything. And I was just, I mean, the athleticism and then the size of the guys, I was like, whoa, this was going to be harder than what I was thinking. So I had the red shirt. And, you know, on top of that, I ain't even talking about the playbook. I ain't talking about the playbook and the adjustments and the attention and detail with that. So it was a difficult transition.
I love the honesty right there. And hopefully you young athletes listening are really taking advantage of what Mr. Alex Molden is sharing with you guys tonight. Some great nuggets of advice and insight. Talk to me about when you realized as a college player that, wow, you know, I finally figured it out. And not only have I figured it out, but I may have a chance to make some money.
Man, you know what? I would say after my redshirt year, or during my redshirt year, I was starting as a redshirt freshman, and I was making some plays, but I was giving up big plays as well. And I think after that year, actually at the end of that year, I tore up my knee in the Independence Bowl, and I had ACL, MCL, PCL surgery. Actually, I thought that was it for me, but I ended up coming back in 9 months, and I played and I started, but I wasn't the same guy, and I had this big old knee brace on, and it was clumsy, and I was getting targeted all the time. You know, go at the guy with the knee brace, right? And after my sophomore year, I ended up rehabbing more, and I was able to really make myself just more explosive, stronger. I was really feeling. I was back to 100%. And so right before my junior year, we ran a 40, and when I ran a 4.32, I was like, okay. All right, this is it. I'm feeling pretty good about myself, you know. When I ran that time, I knew I had athleticism and I knew I had speed, but prior to that, I ran like a 4.4. I ran like a 4.42. But to come back all the way, running that time, and then I guarded, you know, some of the guys used to come back who play in the NFL. They used to come back to University of Oregon and work out with us. Well, this time it was J.J. Burden. And J.J. played for Kansas City. He played 9 years in the league. And at this time, he was like in his fifth or sixth year. And I got a chance to guard him. And so I got a chance to guard him, bump and run. I played some off coverage and whatnot. But I was hanging in there with him. Now, I didn't stop him, but I was hanging with him. And that gave me confidence, and I was like, you know what, I think I can play at the next level. And then that junior year, man, I ended up balling out, man. I had a great year. You know, I had like four picks, and we, you know, I was going up against some great competition in the Pac-10 at, you know, at that time, and was holding my own and doing very well, and ended up making first team all pack. And that year we had some stud safeties like galore. I was the only corner that year that made the first team all pack 10. And so I think,
is that when you had Chad Coda?
Long, say what? Yeah. Chad Coda was one. Brandon Sanders was the other. And then Lawyer Malloy.
Wow.
So those were some studs.
Wow. Yeah, no, those are some memories and some names right there. As far as you touched upon something earlier, and we got roughly about 10 minutes left, Alex, appreciate your time. You touched upon how social networking has changed things. Is that something that you talk to your boys about? What advice do you have for the young men around keeping their social networking clean, about making some of the right moves off the field?
Yeah, I would say really be careful. Really be careful on what you post, because the coaches, that's one of their jobs, is to, when they are seriously about you, and after they get your questionnaire, well, they start to become detectives because they want to know what type of character that they're getting. You know, if they're recruiting you, if they want to offer you a scholarship. You know, they need to do their due diligence, And something that's super easy is to be able to just follow, you know, follow them on social media to see what type of character this kid has. Because it's so easy for them to, you know, you can get on the phone and you can talk, and you can, you know, you can slick talk a coach. But, you know, what happens outside of that when you're communicating with the world? So I would just say, just think twice before you post something or before you start to get into dialogue with, you know, with people. You got to be really smart about that and just set yourself up for success. You don't want to, you know, one post here or there that might come back and bite you and cost you a scholarship. So I would say just be very mindful of what you post and how you post, because that's a clear indication of what type of character you have.
I love it right there. When you go check out your boys playing on Saturdays, when you go to Husky Stadium, you watch Elijah in front of thousands upon thousands of fans. Is it the NCAA's responsibility? Is it the NFL's responsibility to make sure that these young men transition well out of their sport? Or is it up to your son and all of his teammates to fend for themselves and make sure that they transition well?
Yeah, it's really, it's up to him. It's up to him. And you know, I would say me going through the process and on both the college and then also in the pros, because, you know, my agent was, you know, told me he was going to, you know, have things set up for me for after football. Well, that's not really the truth, right? We really have to look out for yourself. And, you know, something I'm super proud of right now that Elijah's doing is he is looking for internships. You know what I'm saying? Like during the summertime, that's a chance for you to be able to go and you can they have these opportunities, meet and greets with the alumni, and you can be able to get, you know, seek out internships. As a matter of fact, the alumni, they love that when a college player, athlete, seeks them out for advice or for learning their craft. They absolutely love that. That shows that you're driven and shows that you have, you know, work ethic, and you're not afraid of stepping out of your comfort zone and, you know, being something else than just a football player. So I would say, like, you know, schools, if you treat it the right way and use them like they're using you, use them to get your education, but also to look for beyond football, beyond sports, to create relationships. I've learned, it's something I talk about, you know, quite often with my motivational speaking, is relationships. Relationships are so valuable. It's not just about what you do or how many touchdowns that you score, but what type of relationships can you create? Because, you know, that is a form of leadership, and you can be able to, you know, you can be able to reach out to those people, especially being an athlete. Man, when you reach out to people and, you know, pull their coat and ask them to lace, you know, lace up your shoes, you know what I'm saying? You know, to school you on different aspects on their job or their work. Oh, that, man, that goes a long, long way.
Amazing advice right there, Alex. And I love the relationship part. We're always talking to our athletes about relationships. So you guys heard it from him. It's not always coming from me. You heard it right there from somebody that had an amazing career and big-time success. Two more questions for you, Alex, and we will let you go. Can you give us some insight, because you've covered some amazing receivers and our kids always love to hear about the battles. Can you give us some insight to who are maybe a couple of the best receivers you feel like you covered and why?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I can tell you, and there's different, I'll give you three, and I tell you why. and they all have different skill sets. Jerry Rice was the most complete receiver. The reason being is he had good size. He had great speed, and people, you know, a 40 time is not everything, because a 40 time when Jerry, you know, he probably ran a 4.6, but when the ball was in the air, he was a 4.2 all day. So, but his technique and his ability to get in and out of breaks, I've never seen anybody quite like it. And the next closest one would probably be Isaac Bruce. But Jerry's ability to his change of direction, his attention to detail, and he made every route look the same, which was a go route. He made everything. I don't care if it was a hitch, he made it look like a go route. If it was a curl, like he was going deep. I mean, and I had a chance to train with him in the off season for 6 months straight. And say he's just a phenomenal athlete and phenomenal football player. Another one is Terrell Owens. With his size and his speed, but more importantly, his attitude. He was basically a linebacker. Actually, he looked like a linebacker at 6'3", 230, but his mentality was so strong. It really, you know, me being 5'11". On a good day, and 195 pounds, having to try to cover him, and you giving him all type of punishment. He's just bouncing up and laughing. You know what I'm saying? That's that can wear on you. But he was a great receiver. And then the last one is Chris Carter. Chris Carter was so silky smooth, and you know he was not fast at all. But his ability to make it look like he was going fast, and you know his he was just so silky smooth, and he had monster shakes. He was hard to cover in the slot, man. So those are my top three right there.
Wow, and those are three Hall of Famers right there, and nobody could dispute that top three. So we'll let you go with this one. And once again, Alex, you knocked it out the park. Thank you so much for feeding into these kids, the ones that are listening live and the ones who will hear it archived. We definitely want to have you back on. But I'll leave you with this one. Knowing all you know now from your 4 years at the University of Oregon, your 8 years in the NFL, your time mentoring and helping your boys through the process, what would you tell a 17, 18-year-old Alex Molden walking on the campus at Eugene, Oregon for the very first day?
Man, I would say be patient. I would say be patient, trust the process, and I would also say take advantage of opportunities. Don't take advantage of people. Take advantage of opportunities. If I had to do it all over again, that would be my go-to is be patient, trust the process, and take advantage of opportunities.
Slam dunk advice right there. Alex, we thank you tremendously for coming on tonight.
You got it. Hey, anytime, T.
Perfect, and I'll be reaching out to you, brother. Thank you, and good luck to those boys. Hope they stay healthy.
Appreciate you. God bless.
All right, you guys. So, wow, that was an amazing, amazing locker room show. None other than Mr. Alex Molden, University of Oregon Duck superstar. A lot of you guys want to go play at Eugene. He's done it, and he's done it in a big way. Then went off to be the number 11th overall pick by the New Orleans Saints. He's had to perform at a very high level. He's a strong person mentally. So a lot out of that show that we can get. A couple things that come to mind for me is the relationship building, the fact that he said take advantage of opportunities. Don't take advantage of people. That is huge, you guys, because at the end of the day, how you affect people is going to determine whether or not you can be a leader and how far you go in this world. And then another thing he said is, it's your job. It's your job. It's up to you to strain all the potential you can possibly get out of that college experience. So when you get to go off to that university, that multi-million dollar campus, it's not up to the coaches. That's what they're going to tell you in the visit, in the home visit, and in the official visit. But it's not up to them. Their focus is on the field. That's where their compensation is. Your compensation will come by making sure you take advantage of the opportunity. So hopefully you guys really got a lot out of tonight's show. If you guys didn't get to hear our last show, it was a couple weeks ago. We had a big college tour, but now we are back to our weekly schedule. And our last show, we had cornerback Jimmy Smith from the Baltimore Ravens, former CU Buff, my alma mater, and he had some amazing stuff just like Alex to feed into you young guys. This is the locker room. This isn't ESPN. This isn't Fox Sports. This isn't Scout.com. This is the locker room, and that's where you get the truth, is in the locker room. So once again, hopefully you guys got something out of tonight's show. Please check us out at www.beforeyougopro.com. We are more than just a podcast. We are literally a development company for student athletes and a mentoring company. So check us out. Once again, www.beforeyougopro.com. I am your host, Coach Terrence Wood, signing off for Before You Go Pro and the rest of the Before You Go Pro family. We will see you at the top.